Talk Business with Barbados Chamber of Commerce and Industry, BCCI. Welcome as we hear the perspectives of various subject matter experts and stay up to date on the challenges and solutions around emerging and current trends in business, policies, trade, and more.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Caroline. Philip, I almost didn't recognize who you were talking about. Today, I want to share with you really some pragmatic, there's 7 points, but it's really, I am not the evangelist saying, you know, this is so cool and all that kind of stuff. It's really hard, pragmatic points born from years of experience. Today, we call it digital transformation. I remember years ago, when I was a principal at Keene, which is now NTT Data in the U.S., we used to talk about e-solutions roadmaps, 6 steps, 7 steps, 8 steps. This has been going on for a long time. But to Philip's point, Chambers said 40%. You know, Intel looking as though they're going to be wanting 40%, right? The Intel, you know, the chip inside, they are on the ropes, right? And they are one of the leaders of transformation. Why? Because they did not get their strategy right. And AMD and the other chip makers are eating their lunch. Now, I'm an Intel fan. Intel is the reason why I did a master's degree in electrical engineering. I wanted to work at Intel. They used to be here, and I wanted to build chips. That is why I chose this career. So it's kind of heartbreaking for me. And the original CEO, I think Moore's Law came from Intel. Only the paranoid survive. There's so many different aspects of my career that is Intel-based. I even had, when I was in grad school, a little zoot suit man to remind me of what I was going to look like when I went to work in the fab. So to see them going out of business, well, maybe they won't, but I'm using that as a point. We are at a wake-up call. The world is in a point of inflection. A few years ago, it would have been, you know, this is something that we should do to, you know, increase profits, reach other client, larger client base, reduce costs, and all those things are valid. But now we are seeing some geopolitical, socioeconomic changes across the world. So we have to really future-proof our businesses. And I want to implore you colleagues, fellow CEOs, fellow executives, anytime you hear that voice in your head saying, well, I am making more profits than I ever have, and what we do works for us, don't mind this, that is the dark angel whispering in your ear, tell it to shut up, because that is the first step towards obsolescence, right? That's the first step toward believing, drinking your own Kool-Aid. So, without any further ado, and all formalities already observed, I'm going to dive in. So, see, I'm a tech Luddite. The first thing you have to do in the journey is you need to find your why, right? It's all good and well to say, look, we're going to execute this, but it has to be a solid why, a solid real why to galvanize. And that why drives a vision. And we're going to double-click on these as we want. Then it's a team sport. Transformation is about people, not about digital. You know, once upon a time, we used to say motor cars. And I thought about it. Why? Why is that? Because you had to separate between the motor carriage and the horse and carriage, right? Now we just say cars. We don't say carriage. We don't say motor, nothing. We just say cars. So let us agree to just say transformation. Because digital is just the tooling, the engine of it. But it's really a game about people. So you need to assemble your team. Right? And then once you've assembled your team, you have your vision, you know where you're going, you know what you want to do, kind of, sort of, because you never really totally have it. It's a constant iterative discovery. You need to look at your processes. If you've been around for a long time, it makes no sense taking what you do today and just create the same old forms in digital. No, that's not it. That's not it. That's digitization, but we all know the failures of digitization programs because the clients think it's boring, they don't want to use it, the employees don't want to use it. it fails. You have to streamline your processes. You have to be very thoughtful. Use design thinking concepts where you're actually talking to the people and getting them on board. And then very thoughtfully modernizing your processes in a way that's streamlined and efficient. Leveraging data. Everybody looks young and youthful, but I do know, that's because of good lifestyle and so on. But we've all been around for a while. I remember this man here running the 800 meters years ago. He was a track star. Data. You got to be data driven. You got to be intentional. Yes, the gut feel, the heuristic is good. That's a good component, but you also need to have insights. So we're going to have strategies around capturing data. And when we say embrace cloud and automation, those are just like two symbols of some of the underpinnings of the tooling that will help you to transform, right? And we'll talk more about that. The sixth step is secure and protect. I was just sharing with Kalade an article, Stoli. Anybody likes vodka? Stoli vodka? They got hammered by ransomware and they're now on the ropes. They're about to go to business, bankruptcy, right? Security, cybersecurity is critical. And I don't need to double click on what we're experiencing here and what we've seen recently. And continuous innovation. Once you start, I don't want to say a treadmill, because it's not monotonous and boring, but once you've started to transform, it is a continuous process. It's not that you build these lovely digital monuments and you've arrived. That is the path to obsolescence. In fact, in some cases, you're more secure just staying brick and mortar than if you're going to just stop, then you're going to be a life target. You have to keep continuously raising the bar on the quality of your product, listening to your clients, listening to your team members, your employees, and continuously improving. So let's dive right in. Igniting the vision. So what is your why? If we look at the stats, the most successful transformation programs, and this is stats coming from KPMG, McKinsey, Boston Consulting Group, etc. You look across the board. The biggest success factor is the why has been the people, the clients, improving client experience, improving the employee experience. And I always say this, if your employees are not having a good experience, how do you expect your clients to? Because we're all clients in some form or fashion in our lives, but we also deal with clients as senior executives. And there's nothing worse than the irate client coming at you with all they got because it's not because they're trying to be bad or negative, it's that something has happened. They've not been able to pay a bill. They've been embarrassed. Car didn't work or something didn't arrive when they expected that has put them in a bad place. If your team members that are dealing with them aren't energized, happy, enthusiastic, the response is going to be not the best. But I have found my experiences in almost 100% of those cases, when you are able to listen and then jointly solution with the most irate of clients, they become your biggest advocates, even if you don't solve their problem on the spot. So people has to be your driver, not implementing cool digital technologies. No, it has to be, how do we use the state of the art to create better experiences, better opportunities for our employees, our team members, and consequently our clients, the people at the center. People always say, put the client at the center, but they cannot be alone. It has to be the employees, the team members, and the client, right? And out of that will come your way. Now, when we look at, moving ahead too fast, Walmart, right? I want to use them as a use case because a point in my life, I was peripherally involved with Walmart through the founder of a company I worked for. And they have been knocking at the door of digital for a long time, right? Walmart Pay. Walmart Pay didn't just crop up. They've been working on that since the late, like 2009, 2010, and so on. And they've figured out how to mix the digital with the brick and mortar. Phygital, how to be truly phygital, right? And look at the results, right? 6% uplift on a stable, traditional company. That is phenomenal, right? And there's no end in sight because they're continuously innovating. They understand we have to focus on our clients. So if there's one thing you take away from today, it is the human factor. That's what transformation is about. It's about transforming human experiences using technology and modern ways of thinking. So you're looking at between 1.5 and 2 times the probability of success. You know, when you thoughtfully align your digital initiatives with your business, again, you've defined your why, and you think about, okay, how do I achieve that why, right? I'm not going to read through these. I mean, I want to leave space at the end because I have a lot of slides. And my team, I hate slides, but they've worked hard on these, and they assure me. I tend to, any of you that see me speak, I tend to get up and I just walk around and talk. But there's certain key concepts that we want to get across. But I also want to leave space at the end for dialogue, right? Just jumping around. Like I said, I'm a tech Luddite. So the team aspect. I'm missing you. You know what? If I just nod at you, yeah. I won't go back. Once you put the team together, you need to put some processes in place that empower them. And culture, you have to focus on your culture, the enabling culture. And among the team is communication, openness, respect. We need to be able to challenge each other. You know, it makes no sense having daily pleasant conversations that don't deal with the issues. But we need to have these safe spaces in which we can have open, respectful, but strong and sometimes aggressive dialogue, passionate dialogue, right? So everybody feels as though their voice is being heard and they're able to move, the ball along. So Google, they foster a culture of innovation by actually not mandating, but allowing their employees, their team members, to spend 20% of their time on innovation. Now, their use cases of that locally, I'm not going to mention them, but there are some places where there's some major innovations that you use today, I'm not going to name them, that were born from employee innovation. And that's where it takes root. You see that human factor? We are all clients, consumers. And when your team has the space to innovate and come up with ideas, I mean, there are no local Gmails and Google News, but there are things that we all use, I assure you, that have been spawned by team member innovation. Right? That's harnessing the power of the team. And like I said, it's driven by people. You're looking at, and we mentioned 10 to 15% increase in customer sat, but you're looking at 40%+ increases in employee satisfaction scores as well. That drives that, right? So a critical component. Streamlining the processes, if you could step forward. Toyota, a traditional one, the older motor car companies, right? They have continuously streamlined their processes, and you know they've significantly increased efficiency. Now, if you only do this, the first 3 steps, you're winning. Just by being more efficient in how you deliver service, you will see a tremendous improvement in your customer satisfaction. Just that bit, just focusing on being more efficient. Because once you've streamlined your processes, then you can start to automate them. It makes no sense automating that which is inefficient. It makes no sense taking that form. You not hear me properly? Okay, no, maybe I can just see. I don't know why I brought this with my speaking points, but I am just going to freestyle. Yes. It makes no sense taking inefficient processes, that form that had 100 different things that your agent used to fill out for you, and they're making the end consumer fill it out themselves. Ridiculous. And then another thing we see across large organizations with different product lines and different service lines is you could be well known to an organization 10, 15, 20, 30 years, and you want a different product, and you have to go through that process all over again. That is terrible, and that is a major friction towards revenue and adoption. Major. So if you just focus on being more efficient and not just digitize a process, but really transform the process and then use digital as a tool. So think about the client experience, right? Think about the employee experience, because I've heard anecdotally, I worked somewhere and I was leading transformation where people out in the wild said, man, the think I can go and look at these applications to try and get rid of my job. They can't treat me, you see? So you got to bring everybody along for the ride. It's part of making things more efficient. Now, these are very modest figures, the McKinsey figures, reducing costs 5 to 15%. For a traditional company, it can be closer to 40 to 50% because these are old processes. And another thing that happens within companies, all of us do it. We go and we get a state-of-the-art product, right? That has all these wonderful use cases and success stories, and we try to make the product work how we work. We do it every time. If you are customizing more than 10% of a product that you've purchased, then you need to ask yourself the hard questions. You need to change what you're doing to align with the product. And that is easier said than done, but it is a hill that you have to climb, because the alternative is potential failure. I mean, I've lived through several of those where we've taken products and we've done the 30, 40% customization, and years later we're still trying to justify the original business case. On the other hand, you endure a bit of pain in terms of transitioning from how you currently work to how the product works with a few tweaks to align, and you see things flowing very nicely. Leverage data. So now that you're using digital tools, you've automated your streamlined processes, you can instrument the processes so that you're capturing data at every step of the process. Data is the new oil. That's what they say, right? Because with data and with big data, people can talk about AI, but let me tell you, AI is a very funny thing, right? Let me diverge for a second. I am qualified to speak on AI because I was going to major, part of my major was going to be in AI. And I stopped because what am I going to do with it? AI, in effect, let me just demystify it. It is just huge, gargantuan data sets with very complex experience-based queries. That's what it is today. Mind you, the scientists are working on real AI. That's modeling how the brain works, and all of that is there. And there are some products there, but for the most part, what we call AI is big data on steroids, right? But you're capturing the data. You have the ability now, whether you use BlueSphere or 9X or what was the name of that tool behind Quoto? Anyway, don't worry. Whatever tool you're using, it allows you to capture exactly what the client is doing at any point in time. A real example of capturing your behaviors and data are those digital devices you have. You ever notice that you could be having a conversation with somebody and all of a sudden ads pop up that align? It happens every time, right? Why? It's listening to you. It's listening to you. It's capturing data. They're capturing your gestures, how you touch the screen, where you tend to touch the screen. They're capturing what you say. And in short order, they're going to capture what you think. That is coming. Brain-computer interfaces. Again, I'm qualified to speak on that. I started a PhD in that and dropped out. But it's gone way beyond it, where it was in the 08, 09, 2010 when I was working in it. To the point where even earbuds, they're looking at earbuds that can you don't need to wear those EEG hats again. Earbuds can pick up certain things that, and they can predict what you're thinking and what you're going to do and that kind of stuff. So, and that brings us to data privacy, right? Data is the new oil, but data privacy, that's why we need regulation, because how far into, okay, there's one thing to predict based on my gestures, but I don't need you in my head, right? But I'm using that. That's a bit far out yet here, but I'm using that to illustrate the power of data and how, as we transform our businesses, we need to do so understanding that we can learn a lot more about our clients than we ever could, and therefore we can predict their behaviors. In our own business, every time we have a glitch, every time we see a certain type of issue, and I have colleagues and friends that always keep me on my toes regarding the issues, and I'm appreciative of that, but it's a it's a feedback mechanism, right, to be able to respond proactively or react quickly, and then even innovate, because a lot of there's a particular product that most of you use here that is used in a certain way because of the pandemic. It wasn't created to be used that way. But in the pandemic, necessity the mother, the clients came back and said, hey, we're using this to so that we can continue to sell our product. I'm not going to advertise that product, but it's understanding human behavior is key to transformation. Netflix, we all use Netflix. I don't anymore because I'm kind of all burnt out on it. But once upon a time, I was binge watching Netflix a lot, right? But they lock you in. They really lock you in. There's an interesting film on Netflix called The Social Dilemma. I invite everyone in here to watch, especially if you have children, teenage children. Watch that. They know from a sociological or psychological perspective your behaviors, and they're able to lock you in. Social media, and I don't want to divert too much. I'm really speaking to the parents. Social media is more addictive than heroin, right? So it can be used for good or it can be used for not good. But again, leveraging data, behavioral data, you're able to give people what they want, when they want it, how they want it. You see that like button? That like button in name like? Just so. Law study went into that, right? Everybody wants to be a rock star. And that's what they're plugging into. Like button. Cost reduction, but also adoption, product adoption, and stickiness, right? Stickiness, product stickiness, which could translate to wallet share, which could translate to customer loyalty, and, you know, very powerful concepts, data. And like I said earlier, I use cloud and automation just as placeholders, but it's really embracing the tooling. I'm going to call it the tooling. It's cloud. There's the phones, mobile phones. Something happened in 2007 that has really made, because like I said, we've been doing this digital transformation thing for a long time. But what really made transformation click was when Steve Jobs did that app store, right? And I've done some work with the guy who came up with the app store idea. And that now puts all kinds of sophisticated capabilities in the hands of your clients, your customers, right? And that's really what's driven transformation. Before, applications were in the enterprise, right? But now the same enterprise, the cashier, right? That's e-commerce, right? The teller, that's digital banking, right? The ability to order things is now in the hand. You don't have to call somebody or go and look at them and say, I need X, Y, Z. You don't have to go into a store. You can do it all here. That really is where it is. And it's all powered by the digital tooling. Now, we can all have our views on the cloud. And I'm going to say, without even knowing what your view is, you're right. But I'm also going to say, the cloud allows you to scale and get to market and innovate and be dynamic much better than any data center. And I used to run two of the larger data centers in the region, right? And I have spent many sleepless nights when there's a storm, when there's a, some kind of, not even force majeure events, because we don't get earthquakes, but, you know, there's some green monkey decide to spike the electricity, data center down, clients mad, all of that. In the cloud, there's much less of that because it's... Oh, thank you, Robert. That's my theme music. Yeah. In the cloud, there is the mobility. So even when there is a problem, you can switch from one zone to another. Now, there are times where you will need a hybrid approach because there's some data that needs to be, based on regulation, needs to be in country. There's some use cases for that, but more often than not, the cloud is usable. And there's also an emerging technology called homomorphic encryption. And it's a fancy word to say data that can remain encrypted even when it's being processed and worked upon. It doesn't have to be decrypted to be processed. So that is a technology that is kind of like a hedge against needing to have data in country. The reason why a regulator will want you to have data in country is because they don't want to run the risk of exposing that data to a foreign government. Most of the cloud techs are in North America, or they could be in Europe. You have the Patriot Act and all those kinds of things, which, you know, we all know about those things. But the technology is countering that. So in your digitization strategy, I implore you to think seriously about the cloud, where that would fit in to energizing your strategy. For us, it allowed us to build a bank in 9 months, literally. It took 6 months to hire a team and 9 months to build a bank. That is a two-year journey, going very, very fast. More likely a three-year journey. But because of the cloud and because of using SaaS, software as a service, and platform as a service, we're able to move that quickly. So I'm citing Coca-Cola because that's a big, huge global brand, but right here. And the other places are using the cloud very, very effectively to get to market and to continuously change. And then use of the mobile. So again, McKinsey, you're accelerating, you're almost doubling the pace of acceleration, but I can speak personally. 9 months to build a bank and have it running in the market and onboarding 1,000+ people every month continuously. Could not scale like that. I remember the days of buying hardware for projects where, and I don't know how many of you all know IBM, but the late Ian Castillo was a good friend of mine because I'd be calling Ian at all hours saying, Ian, man, I need this thing in 3 weeks. And Ian would say, George, put down the crack pipe. We can't get that in 3 weeks. It's 3 months, but somehow Ian would make it come in like 5 or 6 weeks. 5 or 6 weeks to get servers. And then you have to fly people in from Canada to configure those servers, set them up and configure them, right? And then they don't work. They don't ever work the first time out, right? So, yes, he got them here in 6 weeks, but guess what? 4 months down the line, they're now beginning to do Hello World, right? Literally. Literally. And you're taking Netflix, those Tuesday morning executive meetings, project updates. That's why I have no hair. Seriously, between scratching it and it just dropping out on its own from stress, it's a thing, right? Secure and protect. I started off by talking about Stoli. I mean, I don't want to drive a fear factor, but it is avoidable if you adopt the right disciplines. Nothing we do today can be done without cyber in mind. Any architect, any developer that you engage, any analyst, any project manager that you engage, you have working for you that is not factoring cyber into every work product at every step, you need to send them to training, because it is critical. If you're not going to do this, stay traditional. Seriously, you're better off. Because at least you have things in papers. They can't hack the papers. That said, there's a case. I was at a place where somebody moved off with some hard drives, and we had to do some serious recalling because of that. Some place in New Jersey had these hard drives in a desk. And yeah, but Capital One is they're one of the leading proponents of cyber, but all of the major companies, and what I will say in the financial services industry here, we are all very, very, very strong on cyber. Right? I can speak for financial services directly, very strong on cyber, up to date with the latest frameworks and disciplines. And I can also attest that government is moving rapidly along that. So I want to give assurance. I know we've had some incidents, but government is driving steadfastly along to raise the level of cyber maturity. It's not a technology issue. It is really business. It is, you know, Allison, you run an all-digital business now. You used to be digital, you're digital, and your cyber game has to be tight. I know it is, you know. And as I said earlier, continuous innovation. Once you go digital, or once you start transforming, the mere act of transforming means that you need to continuously be refining what you're doing. Listen to your employees, your team members. I tend to call them team members because I don't like to draw a hierarchy between me and, you know, we have this open seat and I sit out in the middle, and sometimes people evict me from where I, you know, like Leanne chased me away from her corner, and then the call center people chase me and things. I guess they figure I'm looking over the shoulder, but I'm not. I'm just trying to find a place to sit down. but you need to stay plugged in, using the insights of data, using the ability to scale and flex that the cloud brings you, using the ability to collect the data that our devices affords you. Stay plugged in and continuously refine. It will never stop. What will happen is, after a time, the cadence of change could level out. Because in this game, whatever industry you're in, it starts off being an arms race, a product's arms race, right? Which features I can put out there. But people don't buy features, they buy experiences, right? And it boils down to the employee experience. 40 to 45% of digital transformation, of the successful digital transformation programs, and this is as per PwC numbers, you know, PwC. So, 45% of the successful transformations put client experience and employee experience at the heart. That is the, so if there's one part of your why, it has to be the people. I feel it should be the entire thing. Make life better for your employees and make life better for your clients.
That's it for another edition of Let's Talk Business with Barbados Chamber of Commerce and Industry, BCCI. Join us again next time as we hear the perspectives of various subject matter experts and stay up to date on the challenges and solutions around emerging and current trends in business, policies, trade, and more.